Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Thursday, the 4th of August. First up, HBO Max just collapsed, 70% of workforce to be laid off after Batgirl failure, and more cancellations.
There is a reckoning coming in the streaming world. If you're an old lump of coal like me, you'll remember that there was a time we had these things that were called packages. Not that package, you know, like cable packages, where we got basically all the channels we wanted. And the worst that would happen is like, oh God, I gotta pay an extra $15 a month for HBO. But you got everything. Now, everything went a la carte. And everyone talked about how amazing this is. Oh my God, I only watch these three channels and now I can get them for $14 a month. And it was, and times were good. And then what happened? The same thing that always happens, corporate greed. And so Disney started pulling, you know, The Simpsons off Hulu. And then, The Office got pulled out of Netflix from Peacock. And all these networks started diluting the service. And your average consumers now have somewhere between 3 and 5 streaming services and are spending close to $100 a month. HBO Max expected to lay off 70% of their development staff. An insider says it sounds like they're not doing HBO Max scripted shows anymore with HBO taking over. A major restructuring of HBO Max and Discovery Plus is expected to be announced. It's strange. You could see a lot of the comments. Bro, HBO Max is such a huge hit and they're really risking it all with this. I'm not sure I would say that. You know, I don't necessarily say it's a huge hit. I don't even have the app on my TV. Do you guys have that problem? Like, I have a really new LG TV and it doesn't have the stupid HBO Max app on it. So I have to tether my phone to use it and it's a total pain. And I can't like find it from the app store. So it's not available for my TV model. Anyway, speculation is on fire around HBO Max's future planned layoffs in major streaming shakeup. Hollywood is buzzing around Warner Brothers Discovery, upcoming earnings results, and plan for combined streaming services, which can upend its most popular streamer. The move will result in a gutting of HBO Max, significant layoffs for its executives and staff to minimize redundancies with HBO, and combined streaming services with Discovery Plus, with a harder line separation between the scripted and unscripted content operations. HBO Max under new management, and fans are worried about the fate of shows like Hacks and Peacemaker and Southside. From what I'm told, Peacemaker will be okay. There's a lot of like kind of news coming out at once here, but it's actually nuts. I mean, you see, Warner Brothers, this was late yesterday. Warner Brothers Discovery has been quietly cutting other movies amid shock Batgirl cancellation. 6 films were removed, were all labeled as, quote, Max originals. Warner Brothers Discovery has been trimming down their offerings on HBO Max, including abruptly removing several films from the streaming platform, which included Moonshot with Melissa McCarthy. Never heard of it. Never really heard of any of those movies. The removals were noted by a Reddit user in a post about the Batgirl movie being shelved with no plans for it to coming out in theaters. One upcoming release, a reboot of the comedy film House Party, has also been removed from the release calendar at HBO Max. Movies and series do leave streaming platforms all the time, but subscribers usually get a notice before the removals happen. In the past, HBO Max has released monthly updates on what's arriving and what's leaving their service, but the 6 were removed without notice. Moonshot was removed from HBO Max just a few months before its March release. There's also still several executives from Warner Brothers still available. I'm sorry, exclusive from Warner Brothers still available on HBO Max. It, alongside with other removed films, are still available digitally for purchase or to rent elsewhere. This is on the heels of Warner Brothers axing Batgirl, taking a $90 million bath. You know, James came out. It says, is Peacemaker safe? Guys, calm down. Yes. James has provided a reassuring tweet for fans of his DC superhero series Peacemaker, which I heard was actually okay. I'm not a big like Cena guy, but you know, people seem to like it. Yes, you guys calm down. He tweeted out in a question of whether or not season 2 is happening. Greenlit in 2021, Batgirl was set to star Leslie Grace as Gordon, aka Batgirl, with Ms. Marvel filmmakers on board. I mean, this Batgirl was really the first kind of the first domino to fall in all of this. And the future of HBO Max grows even more certain amid merger and layoff rumors. Rumors are swirling that Warner Brothers Discovery may have plans to consolidate their streaming platforms, HBO Max and Discovery Plus. Now, what's interesting to me is, like, who has Discovery Plus? Do you have that? I've heard of it before, but, like, again, is that more of like a, what's on there? I'm actually curious. Maybe I have it and it's like rolled into my Hulu sub or something like that. Adding to a dark irony to the phrase too big to fail, multiple insiders say Warner Brothers Discovery plans to consolidate the company's two biggest streamers, HBO Max and Discovery Plus, a move that many fear will result in significant layoffs and content losses at HBO Max. The merger will also reportedly draw a harder line in the sand between Warner Brothers' unscripted and scripted divisions. HBO content chief Casey Bloys is reportedly set to take a more senior position once the consolidation is complete. According to The Wrap, multiple industry insiders expect Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav, by the way, that's the guy that gave up on CNN Plus after like 12 seconds, to make an announcement ahead of the company's upcoming quarterly earning report, which marks the first time Warner Brothers has ranked as the world's number two entertainment giant. The troubling rumors mark a long day of chaos that the streamer's Warner Brothers Discovery initiates after a variety of cost-cutting measures, from consolidating their digital content to shuttering productions and removing content in search of tax write-offs. The first signs of distress for the studio came when the bombshell announcement of the $90 million DC Batgirl film would not be released. Then HBO Max quietly removed six originals from its streaming service, per an IndieWire source. The six films mark the beginning of a lengthy list of films and series that will get the boot from the streamer. Among the Axe originals, the growing HBO Max graveyard, Moonshot with Melissa McCarthy, Superintelligent, Seth Rogen's American Pickle, Robert Zemeckis' remake of The Witches, led by Anne Hathaway. These are probably some big money, and that's just one side of film. And the recent cancellations of Gordita Chronicles, Made for Love, it may just be time to hold your love life close and enjoy one last romp with your minx. Just because you have a heart, please don't tell Pretty Little Liars Original Sin what's happening. She's so young and impressionable. I'm confused how, like, this actually means less content for people, because, like, if you just merge it, wouldn't it mean that, you know, everybody gets more content? Or would they keep the subscriptions separate? That's the interesting part. And on top of all of this, you could see, along with the message, Leslie Grace also shared several behind the scene images from Batgirl, and it got shredded. You could see, yeah, definitely glad this got shelved. I hope she'll still be Batgirl in future production. And maybe, you see a lot of people, the ugliest Batgirl costume ever. If you still want to see it, I don't care if it's not canon anymore. I mean, I suppose it's done. Why wouldn't you just let people buy it if they want to buy it? Thank God this was canceled. The mansion looks so bad. Thumbs down. You could see Warner Brothers used this movie as a tax write-off. And then even cancel Scooby-Doo Holiday Haunt. Yeah, it's like even more embarrassing for this movie. They just used it as a tax write-off. And you could see DC Comics, HBO Max Originals may be on the chopping block as a whole.
And next up today, epic fail. We just got fact-checked by Reuters over a Joe Biden meme, and it ended very badly for them.
Finally happened. For those of you that have been watching my channel for a while, you know I have two editors. They're really just meme smiths. They don't edit like the actual video that I do. They usually help try to get people pumped up in the beginning with like a meme, a relevant meme. And their names are Sean and Steven. You may have seen them on Twitter, Lofty Pixels, or Steven Voiceover. They are excellent at what they do. They've been helping me with shorts and in memes for some time, and super loyal, hardworking employees. Well, the Associated Press just fact-checked one of our videos. I can't believe this is actually happening, and they're getting ruthlessly mocked for it. Reuters mocked for fact-checking video of Biden following ice cream truck. Now, I was like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure my editor has a meme of of Biden chasing an ice cream truck. Reuters was mocked after the news service fact-checked a clearly edited video of President Biden following the sounds of an ice cream truck in what many say is an obvious meme. The wire service, quote, debunked a viral video, our editor's video, of Biden seemingly getting distracted and lured away by an ice cream truck jingle while First Lady Jill Biden was giving a speech at the middle school in Washington, at a middle school in Washington, D.C. Reuters fact check said the video has been digitally edited to include music usually played by an ice cream truck. The original unedited video was posted on back in September of 2021 by C-SPAN. It shows a president walking away from his spot on stage next to the lady momentarily without the familiar jingle. Biden is widely known as a lover of ice cold dairy treat. Many social media users found the spoof amusing. The edited video was initially posted by the same day as the authentic version, but only went viral this week when it was reposted by another Twitter user. You can see this person that retweeted it, getting 50,000 likes, ganked it from my guy. Many social media users were incredulous that Reuters posted a serious fact check of a mock video. Oh, for Pete's sake, conservative editor Gerald Beyer tweeted in response. Are we at a place where humor and parody escape us? Tweeted another person. Sheesh. Thanks, Reuters. I never would have realized this is a joke meme without your guidance, journalist Mike LaChance wrote. Some found the Reuters fact check made the meme even more comical. Quote, one main news organization in the world fact check a meme, LOL. And if we go to Stephen's Twitter, here it is. Stephen Twitter, he posted the original back on September 10th. And then the person that reposted it, I wonder if they cut his watermark out. Let's see. Did you cut his watermark out? Yes, you did.
Bowser and
dude, come on, player. Like, give him Steven his credit. So here's the meme, and you can see, stay informed. Manipulated media is on the video.
You know, thank you for welcoming us here today. And Secretary Cardona and Mayor Bowser and Chancellor Farabee. You know, thank you for coming as well. And for families across the country, you know, the school year,
I mean, like, it's pretty obvious. And then it goes to this. Video of ice cream truck music and background of Jill Biden's speech digitally edited. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody on the planet could see that and knows that it was. I don't even understand. A video circulated on, you could see this, Reuters, let's look at some of the responses here. A video of U.S. President Joe Biden walking away momentarily during a speech given by First Lady Jill Biden has been digitally edited. Here's Steven right here. Who would do such a thing? Posting his original video. Who honestly thought even for a second that this was anything other than a meme? And shows Steven's post. Tim Young, you aren't serious people. Fact check, Brando does not in fact have what plants crave. I mean, like, more evidence that, quote, journalists have traded whatever little integrity and credibility they have left for the cop-out of, quote, fact-checking, which they do to avoid doing real journalistic work in favor of seeming that they do. Wait, for real? Next you'll be telling me Joe Biden didn't actually go to Skyrim. And you have Schlatt writing in here, what? Don't believe them. The edited version is without the ice cream truck. Everybody knows that. The video is a masterpiece. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. I'm currently telling everyone voting age I know that it is 100% real. I mean, like, what? Why would someone do this in reality? The Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song was playing. There's nobody, like, nobody believed it. The quote tweets are even more hilarious. just laughing, crying emoji. How is this a real article? They fact-checked it. Fact-checking a meme video. Nothing else going on in the world today? Are you part of the Ministry of Truth? The left can't meme. Here's Sour Patch Lids. Good timeline. Incredible fact-checking by Reuters. How could anyone tell this was edited? 300,000 views. Un-effing believable. Reuters had to fact-check this video. What a time to be alive. I mean, like, it is an excellent time to be alive. I mean, you can see an Outkick, Reuters fact-checkers parody video showing Joe Biden chasing ice cream truck. Maybe it's just me, but I would have thought the cartoon ice cream truck was real had Reuters not told me otherwise. It sure looks like real to me. Reuters published the following words to leave no doubt that the tricksters on the internet were trying to pull a fast one on Mr. Biden. Social media users are sharing a video of President Biden walking away momentarily. Then around 1:35, Mark Biden can be seen walking out of frame and returning a few seconds later, but no ice cream truck can be seen in the video, nor can any music be heard. This is it. I'm really happy for Steven. If you don't already follow him on Twitter, like we archived it too because it's amazing. He's at Steven Voiceover. He just like Lofty does a lot of my meme intros. He manages my podcast channel, Quartercast, which is just all my episodes merged together. By the way, he also does our show is also uploaded to Spotify every single morning. The previous show, you can find it all edited together. No commercials, no ad reads, none of that stuff is all just clean put in there. For people that just want to listen to the whole show, he's been working for me for about a year now, or no, geez, like 4 or 5 months, I guess. And we finally did it. Now it's up to Lofty to get himself fact-checked, and I'm sure the election season will bring all sorts of that.
And next up, epic backfire for toxic female comic who spends her days complaining about her husband, mom life.
Perhaps you've seen these mom blog or mom life comics floating around Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. The creator has been getting absolutely dunked on for essentially secretly being an ultra toxic female who clearly hates her husband beyond all recognition. Either that or sees herself as some sort of superhuman savior and her husband as a pile of garbage. Most people on Twitter are pointing out the obvious. This tweet has 71,000 likes. This cartoon is driving me insane. If you are saving the peach for someone, tell your partner that. I don't seethe about what a better person you are. You see this? This is her. One of the many differences between me and my husband. Oh, look, the last ripe peach. I'll save it for the kids. They love peaches so much. The dad. Oh, look, the last ripe peach. I'll use it as a special treat in my daily smoothie. Again, nothing like, what are you mad about? I don't get it. Of course, the internet is doing what the internet does and takes everything too far. But let's take a look at this. Me trying to explain our household dynamic in terms my husband understands, you know, he's the stupid idiot. On most sports teams, you have a superstar or a playmaker who makes things happen. That's me. Then you often have that person who just stands around waiting for other people to make plays or shoot the ball. That's you. We need you to step up so we can win as a team. It doesn't really seem like a happy marriage to me. Here's another one. My reaction, 17 years into our relationship. Why are you wearing my hat again? Please stop it. It's my hat. I've asked you not to wear it a million times. You never put it back where it goes. You sweat in it and you make it smell, arg. Okay. Me going to a different part of the house for my kids and my husband. Okay, everyone, I'm going to take a quick shower and I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Ben, please watch the kids. Kids, if you need anything, your dad's right here. I'm going to be in the shower and I'm going to lock the door so I won't be available. I'll be back soon. And then he just leaves. I don't think that this is a happy marriage. You see this one? I wonder how many women secretly hate their husbands. Here's another one. Recently, my husband and I were unloading groceries from the car. Yes, this is an accurate depiction of our different unloading styles. Of course, she has 8 bags plus a purse and several other personal bags. He's just a piece of garbage. And there's articles like, why are these Instagram mom life comics are all of a sudden so controversial? I don't think they're controversial. I just think she's super unhappy in her marriage and it's coming out in comedic ways. Mary Catherine Starr's mom life comic belongs to a familiar category of Instagram mom content, sharing complaints about housework and motherhood, critiquing the unbalanced workload in a straight marriage. Yeah, because in LGBTQ marriages, everything's exactly 50-50 because it's just perfect every single time. Mom life portrays mom as perpetually overwhelmed by chores while dad is a clueless layabout. Except from what I can find is her actual husband is a lawyer or something of that nature. And he seems to be the financial provider from what I can see. So, you know, there's that. These comics don't paint Star's husband in a particularly flattering light, but her 220,000 Instagram followers make it clear that mom's life message is relatable to many. Then this weekend, some comics reached an audience outside of the target readership, inspiring a flood of derisive memes on Twitter. People tore into Momlight's depiction of marriage, comparing Star's complaints to boomer era I hate my wife jokes. Well, they are. The comics quickly became a nexus point for multiple strands of Twitter discourse. Why do so many men leave their wives to do the housework? Why is it socially acceptable for straight people to openly detest their spouses? Again, I don't know what their orientation has anything to do with it. Are these comics inherently passive-aggressive, revealing the mom to be an a-hole in the real relationship? Why don't they just get a divorce? Some commenters also began to wonder if mom life is really an accurate portrayal of the author's marriage, delving an old blog post where she talks about her husband doing all the cooking and grocery shopping. Maybe Mr. Mom Life is being unfairly maligned. You can see a lot of this thing. How do you expect to bully your partner online and have people react? Think, Mom Life, think. Predictably on Twitter, the backlash evolved from satirical memes to a total pile-on, using Mom Life as an avatar for everything wrong with Instagram mom culture and or a certain kind of toxic straight marriage. Again, why is it... okay. The criticism became increasingly harsh and personalized towards her family life. One surefire way to become Twitter's main character of the day is to post relatable content that many people find extremely unrelatable. For instance, Bean Dad, or the guy that dropped acid and tweeted that he resented his mom for giving him $100,000. These micro-controversies go viral and so on and so forth. You can see here, this comic is undeniably kind of cringe, but... have we stopped to consider why the entirety of Twitter has decided it's necessary to mock a woman for expressing that she has to do more of the domestic labor in their home than her husband? Well, yeah. Because you have no idea, we have no idea what's going on, you know, otherwise. You see this, I'm so excited for my birthday because that's the day I won't have to do any of the dishes or make lunches. Does he think he doesn't have to be a parent on his birthday? Interesting. I mean, it just sounds like a terrible mom or a terrible wife in a terrible relationship. My husband working out at home. Me working out at home. Everything's harder for you when you are a woman. I get it. But like, the backlash is insane. Responding to the controversy, Star posted a comic with the caption, "When a woman says anything that isn't 100% positive on the internet, showing herself being yelled at by trolls. This one goes out to all the new trolls that come over here on Twitter to say horrible things to me and judge me and my marriage from a few comics." Well, I mean, they're pretty clearly deeply passive aggressive. I mean, it's pretty obvious you're unhappy. I mean, right? You know, at least I would think so. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. So then she writes this. "A message to an amazing community and anyone looking for more information. As you may not have seen, late last week, some of my comics were picked up on Twitter. Taken out of context," they're not out of context, by the way, they're posted in their entirety, "and used as fuel to begin a campaign against me. What began as hundreds of get a divorce comments has now evolved into scary things like ending myself, release of my private information, and online harassment towards me and my husband on all platforms." Again, that's not okay. And, you know, generally you want to post some sort of, you know, evidence of that, but whatever. There's so much I can say about these commenters, and I'm sure that they're going to have tons to say about this post, but here's what I would reiterate for those of you who are long before. The community that I've built here, basically dumping on your husband, is making each other feel seen and less alone and challenging parts of motherhood, in the challenging parts of motherhood. I don't go on and on about the amazing parts of being a wife and mother because among us moms, those are a given. Of course we love our children and our husbands, in parentheses. And of course, some of the top comments are, what's going on? Misogyny, so, so horrible. Look, do I think these comics are harmless? Yeah, I do. Is this person probably deeply unhappy or has this inflated sense of self-worth in their marriage? Yeah, probably. You know, almost certainly. Constantly painting husbands. Now, maybe her marriage isn't terrible, but she's clearly catering towards women who very clearly hate their husbands. But, you know, the threats or the doxing and that kind of stuff, obviously, that's not okay. But, you know, that mom life, hashtag mom life.
And last up today, Joe Rogan in big trouble again. He's worse than Elon Musk and Donald Trump combined.
Joe Rogan is getting some flack, of course, now being labeled between, it kind of bounces back and forth between Elon Musk and Joe Rogan in terms of who's the most dangerous person on the planet. And people constantly use his name for clout and say heinous things. Of course, I use his name for clout too. I mean, I'm making a video with his name in the title, and I'm hoping that you'll leave a like on the video and that if you enjoy it, you'll subscribe. Kathy Griffin worries that Joe Rogan is more dangerous to America than Trump. Now, Kathy Griffin might be, if there's something lower than the Z list, that's where you'd find the comedian Kathy Griffin. And the only time she can ever literally get her name in the headlines is saying the word Trump. If you're like a celebrity and you rail on Trump, then you'll get headlines. The problem is she can't do anything with them because she's a completely unfunny hack. So she just keeps doing it over and over again. Kathy Griffin has suggested that Joe Rogan is more of a threat to the U.S. than the former president Donald Trump. Griffin, who faced backlash, of course, for posing with his head back in 2017, has been a frequent critic of the one-term former president over the years. Yeah, keep talking and the guy will probably run again. However, Griffin now says that she sees the rise in popularity of Rogan, who is Spotify's top podcaster, and has been accused of spreading misinformation on his show as caused more concern than Trump's army of supporters. Speaking with New York Magazine contributing editor Don't Care on our podcast, also Don't Care, Griffin shared her thoughts on Rogan in the midst of the criticizing billionaire Elon Musk. There you go. So much of this just comes off as like petty jealousy, doesn't it? I haven't seen Joe Rogan in years, Griffin said. And I said to Judd Apatow, you know, the guy that cheated on his wife over and over again, if I ran into Joe, I haven't seen him in probably 15 years. I could probably have a conversation with him. He probably wouldn't recognize you. After explaining that she got to know Joe when he appeared on the 90s sitcom News Radio, while she starred in the classic comedy Suddenly Susan, she added, it's kind of the Roganization of America that I'm now more worried about than Trumpism. While Griffin didn't specify the source of her concern about Rogan, she told the interview earlier this year that she makes a point of avoiding, quote, guys like Joe. What, super successful, fit, well-read, entertaining, creating jobs. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Quote, his fan base is very frightening because the misogyny runs so deep. See, the thing is, like, these clowns just say stuff. They just, words come out of their mouth, but there's like no actual evidence backing that up or any, you know, real rhyme to the reason. They're just saying these things. When I make fun of his show, the Elon Musk army comes after me. The Rogan army comes after me. They're very into swarming. I've known guys like Joe my whole career, and guys like that are best to stay away from. There are other people that can get in the arena with him. This is the classic, I punched this beehive. Oh, all these misogynistic bees are stinging me. For his part, Rogan has been critical of Griffin in the past, questioning on his show why she isn't banned from social media after posting that controversial photo with the mannequin's head. He pointed out to the popular figures that could make derogatory comments about a group of people that could lead members of that group public to go after the individuals who might fit that description. Quote, "You're not responsible for that, are you? Probably not," Rogan said. "But you've got to kind of feel like you played a part in the way that people look at things, especially people that are very easily influenced." Well, we've got a very well-covered trial going on right now where one media personality, and Alex, is being held responsible for the things that he said. It's quite the kangaroo court. But yes, you actually can be held accountable for these things. Elsewhere during the appearance, she discussed Musk's failed Twitter takeover and said, "It makes me sad because I know this is so simplistic and silly, but I'm one of those dumb Americans that walks around going, man, the stuff he could do with his money." I love how everyone always says that. Like, people without money are always telling people with it how to spend it. It's like people, you know, that meme where it's like people who live in these smoggy cities are telling people in the Midwest how to conserve and how to worry about the planet and things like that. You know, tying Musk in with her feelings about Rogan, she added that she's blown away that Musk didn't consider himself a fascist when he says so blindly fascist things. Again, no actual backing that up. She went on to call Musk gross for his comments, doing his part to boost the population after it was recently revealed that he fathered another set of twins. "When I saw him at CODE, which is an amazing festival of thinkers, what were you doing there? I have to say I was really blown away by hearing him talk. I heard him talk in person twice. The stuff he says is so provably false. It's just bizarre." Are you a big genius in... how many rockets have you sent to space, Kathy? It's movies like Biodome with Pauly Shore. He's basically Pauly Shore. He's building the biosphere on Mars. Nobody wants to go to Mars. Oh, people do. I am sure. I guarantee you there are people there. There are already people signed up knowing that they're going to die there. And there's a list of people signed up who want to go. So, I mean, that's just, again, in terms of provably false things, you know, again, there you go. And of course, he's also ripping Joe Biden over the recession flap. You're effing with definitions. We talked about this. Rogan is having none of the Biden administration's claims that the economy is not in a recession. The Spotify podcasts are hit out at the president and his aides for refusing to acknowledge that the United States is in the midst of a recession after two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Their traditional definition for recession. But see, like, what they just did, and like if I had said this before, you might think I was crazy, but they just changed the definition. We watched it happen live. Wikipedia. They went to Wikipedia, changed the definition, and then made him right. It's literally 1984. He also made some interesting comments on Mr. Jeffrey. Rogan thinks that he may have been an agent of either the CIA or Mossad, apparently, who have been a part of a plot to collect sensitive information about the rich and powerful. Rogan broached the topic and his connection to Harvard University, last Friday's connection on the popular podcast, JRE, which is available on Spotify. Well, you know, my favorite meme about this monster is like, even like his creepy wife too. Like, they've been arrested and locked up for the crime of doing this, providing this service to absolutely nobody. Where's the black book? Where's the, you know, where's all the actual evidence? Where are the people that use these services that he allegedly provided? He was bringing them to parties. It was like intelligence operation, Roger said. Whenever he's running, whatever it was a combination of both. It was an intelligence op. There were people, they were bringing in people and compromising them. And then they would compromise them. They would use, you know, whatever they had on them to influence their opinions in a way that expressed those opinions, Rogan added. And I don't know why they would want to do that with scientists, which is really strange to me. Well, I mean, yeah, It is a really interesting thing. It's like one of those things as an American, and maybe worldwide, because his network really kind of ran worldwide. We saw that. Was it Prince Edward or whatever? Or is that the one that's in the can? I don't know. But like, it just happened, and we could do nothing about it. So I don't know. I don't blame people for actually thinking that. Of course, now, you know, we're spinning up we're coming up into the midterm elections right now, and then 2024 we'll have presidential, 2023, 2024 we'll have presidential elections. Rogan and Elon Musk will be even more under pressure and used to as a cudgel against apparently conservatives, which is fine by me. I don't think that anybody who is a fan of Elon Musk is going to just vote the way he votes because he says he's voting that way. I mean, I think that's the dumbest thing you can do. Every year there's like these celebrities that come out and they're like, I remember when that idiot, he idiotically said that like Casey Neistat's like, come on, you got to vote for Hillary Clinton. He was like demanding his viewers vote the way he wanted them to vote. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on YouTube. But that's neither here nor there. Beware, Joe Rogan, he's coming for you. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.